Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
New post-Brexit labelling rules could see gaps on shelves emerging in Northern Ireland by July. Nicola Mallon, the head of trade and devolved policy at Logistics UK, told the Northern Ireland Affairs Committee in Westminster yesterday that major issues remain with trade across the Irish Sea. She was speaking to the committee as part of its work reviewing the Windsor framework and its implications on social, economic and political life in Northern Ireland. And Nicola Mallon from Logistics UK joins me now. Good morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
Thank you for joining us this morning. Now, just to remind all of us, the Windsor Framework Agreement relates to goods crossing the Irish Sea from Great Britain to Northern Ireland, and it was put in place to make sure that the movement of goods didn't undermine the EU single market. So it creates two distinct flows of goods, a green lane for those destined for Northern Ireland and a red lane for goods heading to the EU. So what is going wrong?
Well, I suppose, Claire, the Windsor framework was predated by a thing called the Northern Ireland Protocol. And the Windsor framework is certainly an improvement on that. But there are significant cumulative cost and administrative burdens for businesses who are moving goods from Great Britain over into Northern Ireland. And if you're a bigger company, yes, you have deeper pockets, but it is having a disproportionate effect on SMEs and sole traders and smaller haulage companies that I would represent. If you take our sector, which is the logistics sector, on average, our sector operates under a very tight profit margin of about 2.5%. So its ability to continually absorb rising costs is, you know, getting to the point where inevitably some of that has to be passed on to the Northern Ireland consumer. And of course, the Northern Ireland consumer has the lowest level of disposable income compared to anywhere else in the UK. Mm-hmm. So there are significant challenges. And we are continuing to engage with the UK government and with the EU to see what solutions are available and how we can implement those to better streamline trade and reduce friction.
And you're concerned there's a perception out there that the Windsor framework happened, it was agreed to, and everyone went, well, that's dealt with now and wrapped up with a nice bow. Not so for the people you represent.
No, and I made that clear to the committee yesterday. There is a clear consensus among our membership that the Windsor framework, to some extent, was oversold and sold in a way that made many GB-based businesses in particular think that the requirements on goods moving from GB to NI had been miraculously removed. And so we have been spending a good bit of our energy, and our members in Northern Ireland are expending huge amounts of energy in trying to raise awareness among their GB suppliers and customers that there are requirements. Those requirements have to be met. And of course, in a few weeks' time, we are going to see significant changes in terms of a raft of new requirements required for the movement of parcels.
Okay.
And every one of us buys online every day. So that is a big challenge that's hurtling towards us.
So there are two significant dates, one coming up at the end of March and then into July, when you've warned that there could be gaps on shelves. So why do you say that?
So the big changes from the 31st of March, and there may be slight slippage on that, but that will mean that if you are sending parcels to a consumer in Northern Ireland from GB, your carrier has to provide a whole new set of data to HMRC, which is the revenue body in the UK. If you're a business in GB sending a parcel to a business in Northern Ireland, you have to have a new authorisation, and there's a significant process there of additional costs. We are concerned about the level of awareness and readiness on that front. The July date that you talked about is a key date, because on that date, not for EU labelling will be required on tens of thousands of products. And while we have supermarkets in our membership, they can very much control their own brands, but they are limited in terms of the control that they have over branded suppliers.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a concern that some of those branded products, for those companies, Northern Ireland is a very small percentage of their market, that they may decide not to label, and therefore those goods cannot be shipped across from GB into NI.
So are you saying that there is a lack of awareness, or that some of the bigger trading companies will just go, do you know what, it's not worth it, and stop sending these goods to Northern Ireland?
at the minute, I know that, you know, businesses are reaching out to customers, they're reaching out to their suppliers, they're doing a lot of the heavy lifting around education that the UK government should be doing. So they're doing their best. But we know from the time of Brexit that there can be temporary withdrawal from markets as people try to understand what processes entail and get their houses in order.
And what sort of goods then do you expect might be withdrawn, if only temporarily?
Well, at this stage, we know that it will be extended to a whole range of products. As I said, the challenge is around the branded suppliers who we import from. And we just don't know at this stage who will be providing the required labelling. So we have been pressing government to do that piece of engagement with industry so that every branded supplier is aware of the requirements. There is still some outstanding business critical pieces of information around commodity codes and so forth. So, you know, we've been pressing the government to up its game in terms of providing as much detail as possible in a timely fashion, because that hasn't always been the case. And that hinders businesses' ability to plan, prepare and adapt their processes.
And when you were talking to the MPs yesterday, what was your sense of how much they knew about this? I mean, was this news to them when you spoke to them?
Certainly I felt that we got a good hearing. I mean, the committee has initiated this inquiry. It's an inquiry into the operation of the Windsor framework. So the fact that the committee has given this its attention is a good thing. A number of the MPs on this committee are newly elected MPs. Only three of the MPs are from Northern Ireland. The rest are based across GB. So they do have a clear interest in this. And so we want to work with the committee, work with the EU, work with as many people as possible, because there are a lot of burdens. There are some solutions, we think, in the digital space. If you look at, say, smart seals on lorries, for example, that's technology that allows both the EU and the UK to have visibility right throughout the supply chain. We think a more trusted trader approach to physical checks would help to ease and keep lorries moving. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, we need to start to see the benefits of dual market access. A lot of the focus is on the burdens and the pain. Northern Ireland now needs to see the gain, the economic gain, and that will require the Northern Ireland executive, the EU and the UK working together to sell Northern Ireland's unique UPS around the globe.
But that was a top line selling point, wasn't it, when it came to the Windsor framework and to Northern Ireland in general around the Brexit talks, that there would be access to both markets and there would be free trade with both markets. Are you saying that's not happening in a way that's beneficial to businesses in Northern Ireland?
I think it's challenging to see tangible benefits in the last number of years. We know from speaking to potential investors that there is an almost a wait and see approach because there's still a degree of volatility. We know from our members that in some EU member states, there's a lack of awareness that Northern Ireland is aligned to the EU single market. And so they, you know, there's barriers there in terms of knowledge and understanding. And of course, we in Northern Ireland could be an excellent distribution hub for access to both the GB and the EU markets. But for that to happen, we need the Northern Ireland government to create an enabling environment. That means ensuring that there is land available, that we can get quick connection to utilities, that the planning system is much quicker. And of course, we need good infrastructure. We need good roads and connectivity to the distribution hubs and to and from our international trading gateways, our ports and our airports.
So where does the burden of responsibility lie here? Is it with the Northern Ireland government or is it with Westminster?
We think it lies across three parties, which is obviously the Northern Ireland Executive, the UK government, but also the EU. And the business community in Northern Ireland has been asking the EU to appoint a Northern Ireland economic envoy to carry out a role quite similar to that which was carried out by Joe Kennedy from a US point of view. And of course, industry stands ready, willing and able to engage and work with those governments to say, look, these are what the barriers to trade are. These are the solutions that we think we can put in place. And they are the ones at the coalface with the expertise.
Mm-hmm. Of course, from the EU's point of view, I mean, there was always the fear that the situation in Northern Ireland, if there wasn't proper oversight of goods, that the single market could be easily undermined. And so a lot of this red tape will be geared towards protecting the single market.
And we absolutely understand that. And industry is working tirelessly to ensure compliance. We all want to protect the EU single market. But as the systems and processes are rolled out, as businesses demonstrate their trustworthiness and their immense efforts to be compliant, we would like to see that trust being built into the system so that where minor, genuine issues and difficulties arise, that we can keep the lorries moving and resolve those as quickly as possible. So we're very keen to see, can we get to that better place?
OK, Nicola Mallon, who's from Logistics UK and former SDLP member, of course, as well, SDLP MLA, thank you very much for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Claire.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.